Wisconsin, it's finally here. Yuengling, oldest brewery in America, family-owned and operated for six generations, and now officially in Wisconsin. Whether I'm tailgating, watching the game at a sports bar, just kicking back, I'm reaching for a Yuengling. DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.
Josh, I love the intros, but man, that one was, that's last year's intro.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
Oh, hey.
Once again, Rob.
He's cracking the lid.
We did this last time. You have to speak on the show for me to give you an intro.
You know what? You're right.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
I feel like a jerk. I really do. Like, that was terrible.
It's Rob Domofsky on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Always enjoy catching up with Rob Domofsky every Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Rob.
Hello.
Hey, we got you. I can hear you.
How's it going?
It's going. How on earth are the Packers going to practice this week if Jordan Love's in concussion protocol and Malik Willis is dealing with a shoulder injury?
Yeah, and it's his throwing shoulder, too, yeah. Which is, you know, it's not just like, you know, it's not his other shoulder. It's a great question. They're going to have to, I would assume, go find another quarterback. The first guy that comes to mind, of course, is Sean Clifford, who's on the Bengals practice squad. I have not heard back from his people to see if the Packers have expressed any interest in bringing him back, but that would seem to make logical sense. Clayton Tune is their practice squad quarterback right now, is the only other quarterback in the building. He's been here since he was not here in training camp. He got here right before week one. So right now he would be the guy unless they bring somebody else in.
Is he a rookie, Rob? I don't even know anything about him.
So Clayton Tune was cut by, oh boy, who was he cut by at the end of camp? He's out of Houston, was a fifth round pick of the Cardinals in 2023.
Okay.
He actually made a start, Chewy, as a rookie in 2023. I do not remember that. His career NFL stats are 14 for 23 for 70 yards, no touchdowns, two interceptions. Sounds great.
Oof. Oof. It could be a quick game.
a lot of running in that game if it ends up being Clayton Tune. I mean, I know LaFleur, he said that Jordan Love is doing better. I guess I operate under the assumption anytime somebody has a concussion, Rob, they're going to miss the next game in the NFL in 2025. So I guess I am operating under the assumption that Jordan Love isn't going to be able to go.
And I mean, that's the logical conclusion, right? Now, there have been guys that we've seen that were concussed and played the next game, including Davante Adams got one. And I believe he played, he was even on a short week that he might have played. So now I will say this, Malik Willis sustained that injury on the final play of regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And he did play in the overtime, and he had a fairly deep ball to Jaden Reed in the overtime. And did he throw another pass?
I
think he had one more short one right on the next play after they got to close to midfield. Then he was sacked again. I wonder if it got worse on the sack, because then the very next play was the fumbled handoff.
Drop the snap.
Rob, why?
Yeah, but I was just going to say, the initial injury was on the sack at the end of regulation.
Yep. Rob, why do you think Hobbs stepped in and rescued Keyshawn, sent him to the other side of the locker room? Did he think Keyshawn was going to explode on you guys or what? I mean, you screwed up.
Yeah, I mean,
answer.
Yeah,
you know.
Right. And you know, the bizarre part is that then Nate Hobbs started talking to us, which is, I actually wasn't in front of him. I was over by some of the offensive guys. But yeah, when I heard that just doesn't make any sense. And you know what? Keyshawn could have said, hey, no, I'm talking. I got this.
Yeah.
Like, he could have told Hobbs. Very strange situation. But I mean, like, Chewy, as you know, like, when you come right out of off the field after a game like that, I mean, emotions run high, right? Yeah, and sure. maybe you're not exactly, you know, thinking clearly on this. I wasn't there in front of him when it happened, so I guess at this point I'm willing to, you know, give him a pass and see what Keyshawn has to say tomorrow when we have access again. But it was definitely strange and probably shouldn't have been handled that way. But you know, it looks bad when you talk when things are going great.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Talked after the interception, you know, 2 weeks ago when he won the game against the Bears, and then doesn't talk now.
Yeah.
How do you think the defense did in their first game without Micah Parsons?
You know, they actually got a fair amount of pressure. The only sack they got was the one that was wiped out, right?
With by the face mask penalty.
The face mask mm-hmm. by Brinson. You know, but that's like, you know, when you're playing against, you know, Caleb Williams, you're not necessarily going to, you know, go sack crazy because, you know, you want to keep him in the pocket. But, you know, it's hard to judge, but because of that situation. But, you know, look, I mean, for the most part of the game, they held the Bears offense relatively in check, right? Like it wasn't a game where, boy, they just couldn't get to the quarterback and the quarterback just completely picked him apart. Like that wasn't, you know, that wasn't a major issue. So, you know, I guess let's see if they can generate something, you know, going forward here where, you know, where they have a, you know, where the pass rush needs to come in. I'm looking for the stat here. Caleb Williams was pressured on 16 of 37 dropbacks, 43%. That's the most he's been pressured in a game all season, according to ESPN's rate. So, you know, there's difference between pressure and sacks, obviously.
Rob, we were talking earlier, and me and Gabe were just kind of projecting the end of the season, where if there is another one and done, which direction are they going to go to? And I asked the guys here, I said, who do you think's more important to their side of the ball, Halfley or LaFleur? And we put it on the poll. My guess is the fans are going to say Halfley.
Halfley, yeah, I think they are. The thing is, and it's a great question, Chewy, but the thing is with LaFleur and the offense, if you make the change there, you're not just changing the offense. You're changing the whole system, right? You're changing the whole culture. And then you probably, unless you make Jeff Halfley the head coach, which maybe they would, you know, then you're probably, you know, changing both sides of the ball because you've changed one side of the ball. They may lose Halfley anyway.
Yeah.
You know, to another head coaching job, even if they bring LaFleur back.
But I go back to talking to Ron Wolf, you know, a couple of years ago, and he said, I should have never let Andy go. And I'm just wondering if there's a little of that here with Halfley. Like,
but again, like, if Mike Holmgren was still there, Andy Reid would have left because he wouldn't have replaced Holmgren just to keep Andy.
And Rob, would you agree with me? There's no one on staff that's going to be elevated to defensive coordinator if Halfley leaves. Would you agree with that?
No one on staff. Maybe DeMarcus Covington, their defensive line coach, because he was the DC in New England for at least 1 year. So I think that's possible. But he's not of the Jeff Halfley coaching tree or anything. So and then otherwise, you look up and down that staff, you got a lot of young guys. Ryan Downard, one of their DB defensive back passing game specialists. It's pretty well thought of. He's been around for a bit. Derek Ainsley, the same thing. But I mean, there's nobody with like massive coordinator experience over there.
Yeah, and again, I don't know how that whole thing plays out, but they have to kind of know what Ed Policy knows what he kind of wants to do at this point, right? I can't imagine that the next three games are going to determine too much of the Packers' future.
Yeah, I agree with you, Gabe. Unless one scenario possible, unless he is thinking about making a change and they go on a run and, you know, win a bunch of games and go deep in the playoffs, then maybe he changes his mind that way. But that's only if he's already thinking about making a change and they do something spectacular to change that.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how that plays out. And that's just kind of a cloud over what we have with
no doubt
what the Packers situation currently is. How do you feel about Josh Jacobs? I know that you had the thing. It kind of blew up a little bit more than you intended before the game. Josh ends up playing, doesn't really play after he fumbles the football because he's dealing with the knee injury. I'm guessing they would love to have him get a game off here at some point. I just don't know how they necessarily do that before the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, if they could go back in hindsight, that should have been Saturday night, right? Like, they should have not played him Saturday night, which is kind of the way I thought it was going. Obviously, I was wrong. But then the strange thing is, like, he didn't play at running back after the fumble, but he was on the field for the onside kick recovery attempt. Didn't really do anything. If you go back and watch it, he was on that side, but him and Bo Melton didn't really do much. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what they were supposed to do, but they really didn't block anybody. They're in a little bit of trouble, just from an injury standpoint. Obviously, we talked about the quarterback right off the top. And, Emmanuel Wilson played pretty decent. And, that was one of LaFleur's reasons for not putting Jacobs back in there. But he did say that this was after the game, not yesterday. He did say that, it was basically that Ben Sermon's the running backs coach, decides who goes in the game. Now, certainly the head coach could go over there and say, get Jacobs' butt back in there, but he didn't do that.
How did Kennard play?
He didn't.
He
was the tight end. Morgan started at right tackle.
Morgan.
Yeah, because I saw him.
It was,
all right.
Yeah, Morgan started at right tackle. Kennard played a bunch, but if I'm not mistaken, might have been the play that Willis got sacked on. Morgan got completely destroyed.
Yeah. You're 100% right. On the last play where Willis first suffered the shoulder injury at the end of regulation, Morgan did not get his hands up and just got dominated by Sweat.
Yeah. So, I mean, that alone, is a troublesome play, but you can have 65 great plays, and if you have one bad one and tackle, you had a bad game, right? So that one jumped out. I could not remember if it was the injury or a different play altogether, but yeah, you're right.
But Kennard right now is their second tight end, right?
Well, especially now.
What are they doing at tight end?
Yeah, again, there's going to be some guys added to the roster that has to be just to get through a game.
Big dog? Big dog coming back?
Yesterday LaFleur didn't address it, but he was kind of asked and sounded like it was half joking, but he didn't say no. They have one tight end on the roster. It's McClellan Castles out of Tennessee. He was not here in training camp. I can tell you that. Beyond that, I don't know much about him.
Cool. Things are great.
Got some good names on the practice squad.
Things are really good.
I love your reaction. Hey, that's cool.
Just things are great right now. I guess Aaron Rodgers did them a favor. They got to repay the favor. They could potentially repay the favor for Rodgers. Aaron and the Steelers go in there, beat the Lions yesterday. And I guess that's where they take the break is how much, if they win on Thursday or if they win on Saturday, Rob, how much do you think they prioritize resting their players versus winning the division if they're still alive for the division? Because the Bears would need to lose out. The Packers need to win out to win the division.
I think if that's a scenario, they play to win the division.
Okay.
I mean, I don't have any doubt about that. Like the idea of having a home playoff game, which is something they've talked about for the last several years here. I don't think there's any, if there's something to play for that's, if it's playing for the sixth seed versus the fifth seed, that's another story. If it's playing to win the division versus being a wild card team, they play to win the division.
How serious is Dobbs' wrist?
He's okay. Yeah, no, I think he's okay.
Rob, we appreciate the time. We appreciate you updating you on better news.
Yeah, sorry I couldn't bring you a little bit of light to the show today, but it is Christmas week, so there you go. That's all I got for you.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Hey, it is Christmas week. All right, Rob. Yeah. There we go, Rob. We appreciate it, buddy. Merry Christmas. Right. We'll talk to you next week, and hopefully after the Packers clinch a playoff berth.
All right, we'll be seeing you guys. Take care.
Rob Domofsky joins us each and every Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Going to wrap things up, get to a couple more texts on that Carbo's Talking text line. Coming up next.